Well, the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives says new research shows almost $500 million of public money and subsidies is going to private schools in BC and suggests public funding flowing to elite prep schools should be phased out. The left-leaning think tanks looked at taxpayer dollars, subsidies and tax credits that private schools benefit from, including religious and elite prep schools. Now, senior CCPA economist Alex Hemingway, who conducted the research, said the dollar amount going to private schools stands out. For 2022-2023, that number stands at $491 million. Mr. Hemingway said that the study showed an increase in funding going to private schools, while funding to public schools did not increase at the same pace. Mr. Hemingway, Alex Hemingway, senior economist with the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives, joins us now. Hello, Alex.
Hey, Jazz. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us. This is an interesting conversation. Why should taxpayers be concerned about this? One could argue that, yes, we are providing some subsidy, but parents are also paying, let's say, 50% of the cost, perhaps 65% of the cost for some of the education here as well. And then over the long term, that may actually be cheaper for taxpayers. What do you say to that argument?
Sure. Yeah. And then there's a couple of issues here. Let me just flag at the outset. So that $500 million, $491 million in taxpayer funds flowing to private schools in the province, that's the low end of the estimate. That's actually just the direct grant subsidy from the province to the schools. Those range of other tax breaks, property tax exemptions, and so on, that's on top of that $500 million. So it's even that's the low end, just to emphasize that. In terms of, you know, what would happen, for example, if we did phase out this type of funding? To your point, I think there are a couple of possibilities. So one is that private school enrollment would remain relatively steady compared to how it is today. Another possibility is that, you know, as those subsidies are withdrawn, you might see inflow back into the public system, and that goes to your point. That would be additional students in the public system. So that would offset some of the savings, some of that redirection of funds to the public schools. You know, my view on it is that both of those outcomes would be a good thing. So if you do have students flowing back into the public system, you know, public education is really the linchpin of a fair and equal society. It certainly can be, and strong public education strengthens our economy for the long term as well. So, you know, I think that perspective of public schools as the great equalizer is an important one to bring into the picture here. And if you look across the provinces, though, you know, there's not necessarily a strong correlation between the level of subsidy to public school to private schools, excuse me, and the level of enrollment. So, just to give you an example, Alberta subsidizes its private schools at an even higher rate than BC does, but its private school enrollment is even lower. So you're not necessarily automatically going to see that a shift in enrollment. There are other factors at play there. On the other hand, and I'll stop in a moment here, just to note, half the provinces in the country don't provide any subsidy to private schools. And I think that, you know, that's a sensible approach. And that seems to be, interestingly, in line with what most British Columbians think. When you look at, there has been repeated polling on this, and there's actually very strong opposition to this public funding of private schools.
The subsidy itself, I think in your study, you said that it ranges anywhere from 35 to 50%. Is that what your study had mentioned?
That's right. Yeah, that's the way the formula works. So that private schools, there are different classifications for them. There's group one schools, group two schools, and depending on which group you're in, you get a different level of subsidy. So, for example, the very high tuition elite private prep schools are typically getting that 35% rate of subsidy, and other private schools getting the 50% rate.
Mm-hmm. There has been a tremendous growth of faith-based schools. Even when I was an MLA, of course, in my constituency, I had Number 5 Road, and they often referred to as the highway to heaven. But there are many schools along that road that were faith-based. I think of the Jewish faith. I think of the Catholic faith. And, of course, a tremendous growth of schools with those catering to the Sikh faith and the Muslim faith as well. What parents want, a strong grounding in faith to be included in the in their children's education. I mean, these schools are the only ones that are going to be able to handle that. We don't expect the public school system to provide that. Isn't that necessarily, at the end of the day, a good thing if we are including some faith-based teachings for parents who wish to have that included for their children?
Well, of course, there'll be different views on this. I mean, my view would be that people should be free to make that choice to participate in the private school system, but that we shouldn't be subsidizing it with tax dollars, whether it is those elite private schools or whether it's religious schools. When we think about the separation between a church and state, as they say in the U.S., but that similar principle applied here, you know, people are free to do that, free to practice their faith, free to choose where to send their kids. But do we want to have the public taxpayer dollars subsidizing that? I think that's the question that needs to be raised. You know, I have my own view on it, but part of what we wanted to do here is just shine a light on how large that subsidy has become, rising to $500 million. And, you know, I think most people don't realize that even in those polls that I mentioned where you see about two-thirds of British Columbians opposed to public funding of private schools, that's those questions didn't prompt people to the scale of that funding. It's sort of a generic question. I don't think people across the province are necessarily aware of just how large that subsidy has become.
Mm-hmm. I remember having a private conversation with a provincial education minister, NDP education minister, back in the 1990s. And that first question to you that I asked, look, partly taxpayers do subsidize partially what the cost is for these schools. But at the end of the day, as the minister at that time told me, hey, look, this still actually saves us money. It's cheaper to pay for that rather than these folks coming into the public system because then we're paying the full freight. But I guess the broader question here is, the fact that parents are choosing, whether it be a faith-based school, an elite prep school, perhaps schools focused more on STEM, math and technology, those types of programs, is it a commentary on our public system that some parents say, look, I'll put this on right before you. I am a product of a public system. I support the public system. Yeah. But parents are also expressing some frustration with the public system and saying, look, I want my children to go to school where there's a greater emphasis on discipline. There's a greater emphasis on their particular faith. Isn't it this about, you know, strengthening the public system rather than saying getting rid of, let's say, a private or faith-based system?
Yeah, I think, you know, the state of the public system is the other side of the equation here. And you know, I think these two things are connected. When we look around us, I think we can see a couple of things about our public education system in BC. Complex question. We could talk about it for a very long time. But mm-hmm. One is, I think BC's educators have accomplished a remarkable amount. We do have some really great public schools, great public education in this province. But that has been accomplished under difficult circumstances. We have had chronic underfunding of public schools in this province under multiple governments. You know, this goes back a couple of decades. You know, some of the most severe cuts we saw to the public school system were about 20 years ago under the Campbell government. I remember I was graduating high school at the time, and I saw mm-hmm. about 20 schools close in my community in the north in Prince George at the time over a couple of years. Really remarkable. And unfortunately, you know, the damage done at that time has not been reversed yet. We've seen some progress made over the past few years, but there's still an underfunding problem. You can see it in various ways. Special education is one of those areas where you see it. There are not enough resources going to supporting our special education students. And, you know, and that's put strain on the system in all sorts of ways. And, you know, part and parcel of that connected to that is the teacher shortage that we faced prior to the pandemic, and that's been made worse by it. We have those recruitment challenges, teacher shortages, mm-hmm. Exacerbated by the fact that BC has among the lowest starting salaries for teachers across the country. That's really not helping with recruitment. So we need reinvestment in the public system. BC has more than enough economic and fiscal capacity to make that type of reinvestment. Redirecting some of these funds, the subsidies, towards the private system could contribute to that. But it's not the only element. And I think, you know, we talk in the piece about a phased approach, and I think the most sensible place to start here would be with the subsidies to those elite private prep schools that are charging $30,000 of tuition per year. And when you, again, you look at the public opinion on that, opposition to that rises even further. About 80% of British Columbians are opposed to that type of subsidy. So that would be a sensible place to start, redirect those funds to special education, but also look at our broader fiscal and economic picture and look at reinvesting in the public system in a more fulsome way.
Alex, it's great to know that you went to school in Prince George. I was down the road in Williams Lake, but that's one thing I didn't know about you. So it's good to know that we came from the same neck of the woods.
We'll talk more about that.
Exactly. I remember playing some basketball games up at Dutchess Park and a few other schools up there. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So there you go. Alex, thanks for your time, my friend.
Thanks, Chad. Take care.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.